The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 342 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: a vaccine surge is on the way as drug makers ratchet up their production and more facilities become equipped to provide the drugs to U.S. communities. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. Pfizer and BioNTech asked the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for permission to store their vaccine at lower temperatures. That would allow the drug to be stored for 2 weeks in the type of freezers pharmacies use. Making storage easier in this way could simplify distribution of the shot. The partners submitted new data showing the vaccine is stable when it is stored at minus 25 to minus 15 degrees Celsius. Current protocol is to store the vaccine for up to 6 months in an ultra-cold freezer at temperatures up to negative 60 degrees Celsius, and to ship them in a special thermal container. This limits the number of facilities that have the equipment needed to store and administer the vaccine. The European Union plans to double its cash commitment for the COVAX program, according to an EU official familiar with the matter. The bloc will now contribute 1 billion euros to the program, which provides vaccines to poorer nations. G7 nations, including the US, the UK, and France, are also expected to pledge donations of vaccine supplies. Finally, in the US, there are early signs of a resurgence of COVID-19 cases in the Great Plains, the area where the most recent nationwide surge started. The 7-day average of new cases in North Dakota has climbed by 147% in the past week, the most in the U.S., according to COVID Tracking Project data. Nebraska's cases are up 20% in the period, and South Dakota's are up 17%. The move is a reminder that while the overall trends have improved vastly, the pandemic continues, and hotspots are likely to keep popping up.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
And now for today's main story. The U.S. vaccine supply is poised to double in the coming weeks and months, according to an analysis by Bloomberg, allowing a broad expansion of doses administered across the country. Currently, the U.S. is administering 1.6 million doses a day, constrained by the recent supply of about 10 million to 15 million doses a week. But COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers and U.S. officials have accelerated their production timelines. I spoke to senior editor Drew Armstrong, who leads Bloomberg's vaccine tracker. Drew said the spigots are about to open, providing hundreds of millions of doses just as pharmacies and mass vaccination sites become more equipped to administer them. Let's start with some numbers. How many COVID-19 vaccines is the U.S. currently distributing? And more importantly, how is that number expected to change over the coming months?
That's a really good question. So the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker, which is the product that I run here, we look at every day how many shots go into arms around the U.S. And what we see right now is that about 1.6, 1.7 million doses a day are administered in all 50 states and across some federal entities and some of the territories. And that's a number that's been really constrained essentially by supply. The U.S. Distributes anywhere from 10 million to 15 million doses a week. And if you do the math on that, with a couple little variances, 1.6, give or take a couple hundred thousand is where you get. So we've been in this environment now for a few weeks where, just about every dose that gets sent out is more or less being, doses are being used at the same pace that they're sent out. And that is not a pace that's been fast enough to cover the United States in any kind of timely fashion. We have a calculator on our website that shows, at the current pace, how long would it take to cover 75% of Americans with a two-dose vaccine? And I think right now that number is up to about 9 months. I don't think that makes anybody happy. That would be sometime in the fall, heading towards the beginning of winter. But, we do know that more vaccine is coming.
So what is going to lead to this increased supply?
So I think when you think about manufacturing, in this case, what is a new and complicated product, these vaccines, they're actually quite high technology. They're very, challenging to spin up large scale manufacturing. You need to think about a manufacturing ramp, which is what we, what everybody calls this, where basically supply tends to start out at a trickle. More factories get brought online, essentially, or the manufacturing lines in those factories. They add new ones or they make them more efficient. You look for processes and you begin to see real increases in production closer to what a maximum is. We took a very careful look at all of the public statements by the companies. They have made commitments to saying we will deliver, X number of doses under our existing contract by this month, another 100 million, doses delivered by the following month. And combined all of those things together with some additional more granular timetables to show that there's actually going to be quite a bit of vaccine supply coming in the next few months. Taken together, the Pfizer vaccine, Moderna, a vaccine that's likely to be authorized for use by J&J, we go from a place where we're at around, 15 million doses a week now to by the time we get to March. We're really looking at more like 20 million doses a week. By the time we get to April and May, 25 million a week. By the time we're in June, 30 million a week. That starts to really, really add up. You're talking about, by April, enough vaccine to cover 190 million Americans. By June, you get to 350 million. By July, we have more vaccine, doses than we have people to give them to. Although those projections require companies to hit their targets. So it's a major caveat. Now, to meet these deadlines, they need to actually succeed in making the stuff. But we're basing this on the numbers that they are promising and certainly hoping that they get those right.
Obviously, these numbers sound fantastic and the question of if they're feasible targets is a big one. I mean, we've already seen delays in production, delays in shipping. Obviously, even right now going on with the weather, we've seen problems in getting vaccines out to communities. So, I mean, even in your opinion, how overly optimistic are these targets?
Well, I don't know if I would call them overly optimistic. I mean, I think one of the things that's worth remembering about these companies is that these are very large corporations that, in my experience dealing with them, tend to be quite conservative in what they promise. That said, a lot of the promises that they are making recently, I think, can get conflated with some of the promises of the prior administration, where there was kind of a lot of overpromise and underdeliver on vaccine numbers. But these companies are actually, they don't say this stuff unless they think that they can do it, because they know that if they don't, that is a big disappointment and that they will be held to account, hauled up before Congress, made villains in the eyes of the American public, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They tend to be pretty conservative about how they talk about this stuff. So, I think that they would not be saying this if they did not have a strong degree of confidence that they will meet these targets. Now, I want to pause real quickly here and say, there's a lot of other stuff that can go wrong. Look at the snowstorm that has more or less put vaccinations in Texas on hold. If you dig into our vaccine tracker, you can actually take a look and see that Texas took a huge hit on the terms of the number of vaccines that it's been able to administer over the last several days. Things can go wrong. Weather, shipping issues. We may get to a point where, we haven't distributed this vaccine as much anymore. There could be distribution bottlenecks. We don't know if there might be some, long-term side effect that we're not aware of that causes one of these vaccines to either be pulled from the market or limited in use. There's a lot of variables here. This is not just manufacturing. I've been taught in this pandemic that, if stuff can't go wrong, it will go wrong. So, I really want to caution people. This is a model of what companies are saying. There are many other moving pieces in this big vaccine machine that have to all keep moving and not breaking down in order for this to work.
And you raise a really important point that supply, just the quantity of vaccines, is maybe not even half the battle, but only a piece of this very complicated puzzle. So assuming that we will have this increased supply of vaccines going into the spring and even into the summer, I mean, what has been announced as far as plans on local, state, federal government lines to make sure this increased supply will get distributed and into arms?
Yeah. One of the really interesting things that has been happening and actually gave us a little bit more confidence in writing this story was, not just looking at in isolation the statements by the companies, but, what is actually happening on the ground in order to kind of widen the, the pipeline, for the last mile of getting these things from, factory to arm, et cetera. I think if you look around the country, there is a building of vaccine administration capacity that's been going on. Michigan's top health official said earlier this month that we could be doing 80,000 doses a day. We're only getting, but if you look at what they're actually getting, the number of doses they're getting to be able to administer, it's, anywhere from 30,000 to 50,000 doses a day, less than that. FEMA has been opening up mass vaccination centers around the country. They have a pop-up site in Delaware that's going to go for 6 days and do 3,000 people a day. Football stadiums are being turned into mass vaccination centers. And San Francisco, the 49ers stadium, they say they can do 15,000 doses a day there. This is happening all around the country where there is this building of administration capacity. They've pulled retired nurses and doctors back into service and said, hey, come help out with this. Pharmacies are now beginning to be shipped vaccine for use by the general public. Those are tens of thousands of locations. I think one of the things that we have to remember, a good comparison to this is like the nursing home program where the big drugstore chains were contracted with to go out and vaccinate people in the nursing homes. And it actually went really, really slowly. I think people thought that, oh, this will be great. We'll hire these big companies that have locations everywhere. They'll sweep across America and vaccinate all the old people in the nursing homes who are the folks who are most vulnerable to this disease and really need these vaccines. That's not what happened. It turns out it is way easier and more efficient to tell 10,000 people to, you know, or 15,000 people, hey, drive to the football stadium that every Sunday in the fall is used to handling, you know, 100,000 people getting in and out of this place, line you all up and vaccinate you. That's easy to do. That's efficient to do. What's really hard to do is to say, okay, you're going to have to go drive out to tiny little, essentially, you know, nursing homes all around the country and go door to door vaccinating fragile 90-year-olds who have to be handled with extreme care and caution because of their susceptibility to the disease. We are moving into a place where the efficiency on the administration side really begins to ramp up.
From the federal government perspective, you know, what has the Biden administration said as far as their goals for having America vaccinated? I mean, have they taken into account this new supply line of vaccines and adjusted their timetable at all?
One of the things is it's a very interesting contrast between this current administration and the prior administration is that they seem to be quite conscious about being conservative and not overpromising how they're going to deliver these vaccines. And you see comments that kind of look like trying to talk both ways about this, where on one hand, they say, things are going great. We're hitting all our targets. Look how wonderful we're doing. And really trying to, you know, count their own wins on this. You know, on the other hand, they say, whoa, 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 be careful. We won't have all these vaccines until July, which is a month later than what we project. You know, we see them talking down production of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine a little bit, saying, well, we expect that to be a very, very slow ramp. I think there's a little bit of, you know, both political and public health expectation setting going on here. If I had to take a guess where, you know, one, you don't want people to think, you know, yay, you know, I'll have a vaccine next week so I can go and give up all the good public health measures that I've been practicing for a year now. You know, you also at the same time don't want to give people the mindset that like, hey, the vaccine's never getting here, so why even bother? I'm going to give up for that reason. I think they're trying to walk a little bit of a fine line from a public health standpoint while also trying to control the narrative from a political standpoint. You know, we'll see if they adjust those projections. And obviously, we intend to, you know, keep on the companies that are manufacturing these and hold them to account and call out if they don't hit their promised targets. You know, and we'll be keeping an eye on the Biden administration as well.
That was Drew Armstrong. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Drew Armstrong. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.